Good morning again. My name is Pastor Amy. It is so good to see you here, and it's very hard to believe that it's Advent already. But actually, our creative arts team has been working on Advent for a few months now, working on the series, working on decorations, working on slides and things like that. One of the things that they've been working on is an Advent calendar for you to use at home. And before you leave today, I encourage you to grab one off the back information booth. Every single day, there is an activity for you to do, something to help you, maybe some family members or friends, kind of follow along with the Advent series that we're doing this month. So I encourage you to take one of those. We set up kind of a unique Advent wreath here in our space. The candles are kind of spread out in different areas. At home, you can do whatever you want. You can just grab a few candles and put them together on a table and call that your Advent wreath. Or you can go to the mall and find one. I'm sure they'll sell you one, and you can get one from there too. But I encourage you mostly to let it use it to guide your sense of the season and where God is speaking to you this year. So we're glad for the team and for the work that they've put into this series. If you need a Bible for this message, there's a stack of them back there. You're welcome to get up and get one of those. We'll be using it in just a moment. Painted on a sign at the Plan B town camp in Onabowin Park, the quote from American philosopher William James says a lot about music's role in this and other 2010 Art Prize exhibits. It says, "I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing." This article from the Grand Rapids Press on October 3 of this year goes on to say, "Grand Rapids artist Rick Bierhorst takes things to a whole another level, too. He and his team of about 30 collaborators have set up a Hoovertown-like hobo camp along the river, a sort of back-to-the-essentials artist representation of what might happen when oil supplies finally run out. As part of that, Plan B hosts poetry readings and concerts by mostly Michigan-based bands every night during Art Prize, with lights kept illuminated by an electric generator powered by campers riding stationary bicycles. The bands aren't paid, yet they're thrilled to embrace the unconventional, hippie-like scene. This is a relaxed environment, says Bierhorst, noting Plan B presents music in a way that you wouldn't find at a typical nightclub, inspiring off-the-cuff creativity. We wanted to create a thick environment that gives the music a context to bloom in. More important, it spurs a communal feeling that encourages other musicians to jump in. On the first day of Plan B, a Detroit attorney in a suit came down and spent more than an hour playing banjo and a washtub bass with Bierhorst and his crew. "When would this happen normally? It was just really cool," Bierhorst gushed. "Everybody has a place at the table." Music is pretty powerful. There's lyrics that roll around in our heads, supplying a soundtrack to everyday life. Some songs mark the passage of time, like Happy Birthday or Auld Lang Syne at New Year's. Music has the ability to break down social barriers and to unify diverse groups of people. It pierces our hearts and reaches down into our souls, pulling out emotions that we didn't even know we had. One commentator writes that no other form of expression captures the whole human psyche, as does singing. William James's quote is also about the power of music. "I don't sing because I'm happy. I'm happy because I sing." Music has the ability to draw us out of the dark places when nothing else can. Even when we don't feel like singing, especially when we don't feel like singing, the tune and the lyrics can transform our attitudes and our moods, our general outlook on life. This year, as we consider four songs in the Christmas story, we have to admit that not everybody feels like singing. There are many people walking around in darkness. Darkness caused by worry about whether or not you can pay the bills. Stress from anticipating the holidays. Sadness over broken relationships. Frustration from bad work situations. Anxiety from uncertain health issues. In these dark, dark situations, it's hard to feel like singing. And so we have to wonder, did these four biblical characters sing because they were happy, or were they happy because they sang? The first song we're going to look at is from the prophet Isaiah. Now, when I think of songs in the book of Isaiah, Handel's Messiah immediately plays in my head. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Or from Isaiah 9, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are verses from Isaiah that Handel took and made into a song, but rarely do we hear the words that Isaiah actually put into a song. They're found in Isaiah chapter 12. I encourage you to turn with me there. It's on page 492. Isaiah chapter 12. This is Isaiah's song. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. You know how hearing the story behind a song often makes it that much more meaningful to you? Like Matt Redman's song, The Heart of Worship. Redman wrote this song in response to a dark, dark time in his church's life. The congregation was struggling to find meaning in their worship. The pastor had this strong desire to move people from being worship consumers to worship producers. So one day the pastor did a bold thing. He got rid of all the instruments. He got rid of the sound system. And he asked the congregation to just use their voices in spontaneous worship. So back at home, Redman wrote these lyrics. When the music fades and all is stripped away, I simply come. Or the story behind the hymn, Peace Like a River. Horatio Stafford was a wealthy Chicago businessman. And he lost nearly everything in the 1871 Chicago fires. For a time, he did what he could to help the city get back on its feet. But shortly thereafter, his only son died. In 1873, Spafford decided to go on a vacation with his family, his remaining four daughters and his wife. But some business obligations kept him back in Chicago, so he sent them ahead. But along the way, there was a tragedy. The ship sunk, and his four daughters died. In the dark days and weeks that followed, he penned these lyrics, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The story behind Isaiah's song in chapter 12 is equally powerful. In 745 BC, Assyria was a strong and powerful nation, and they were aggressively attacking smaller nations like Israel and Judah, especially since they were the only thing blocking Assyria from getting down into Egypt. So at this time, the king of Judah was King Ahaz, and he had a very important decision to make. He had to choose one of three options. He at that time could join a coalition of Israel and Syria. Syria is not on that map. But he could join that coalition, and together they could try to fight the Assyrians. But if they lost, they knew they would be tortured, and especially the kings would be tortured for trying to fight against Assyria. So option number two for King Ahaz of Judah was to say, all right, I'm just going to try to go it alone. But trying to go it alone meant that this coalition of Israel and Syria would probably attack them because they were stronger. And so the third option was for King Ahaz of Judah to say, we're going to kind of give in. We're going to sign ourselves over to Assyria. We're going to pay whatever tax they require of us every year, and we are going to submit ourselves to the authority of Assyria now. King Ahaz had this decision to make. It wasn't actually just a political decision. It was a spiritual one. Prophets like Isaiah had warned King Ahaz about siding with Assyria. Isaiah challenged King Ahaz that instead of siding with Assyria, trust in God. Trust in the Holy One of Israel. Believe that this God who you serve is trustworthy and that he is superior to any earthly authority. Know that God is all-powerful and that he is able to deliver those who trust in him. But King Ahaz decided to reject this advice. He chose to side with Assyria. Doing so wasn't just a political move. It was also a move away from the one true God. It was a declaration that King Ahaz trusted in something other than the God who had delivered them so many times in the past. A spiritual decision like this doesn't go without consequences. Isaiah prophesied that what King Ahaz had trusted in place of God, Assyria, would one day turn on Judah and destroy them. King Ahaz's decision brought darkness to the nation. Not literal darkness, but economic and social and spiritual darkness. You know, given King Ahaz's choices, I'm not sure that I wouldn't have made the same decision. So often when we have this choice between trusting in something that is unseen like God and unknown like God's plans for our lives, or choosing to trust in something that is seen like Assyria in this case, and something that is known like what Assyria was going to do to them or the amount of tax that you had to pay for them, we often kind of choose what is more known, don't we? The thing that we can see, the plan that's at least somewhat laid out for us. We choose that instead of trusting in God and in who he is. Even though living in submission to Assyria wouldn't be that great, at least it would be better than the possibility of torture or living in fear. Have you had to make a decision in similar circumstances? I think of the single guy making a decision about this girl that he wants to ask out. She's got a lot going for her, but she isn't quite where he is spiritually. But if he lets this one go, who knows what else is out there? You know, at least he knows what he's getting with this one. But if he waits, what does God have planned for him? Or I think of the college grad who just graduated with international business major, and she's feeling a calling from God to work with a social justice agency halfway around the world. But she could stay home and work for the family business. Then things would be a lot more laid out for her life, and who knows what would happen if she answered God's call and was living halfway around the world. These aren't just social decisions. They aren't just economic decisions. They're spiritual ones. For King Ahaz, for the single guy, for the college grad, for all of us, it is a matter of trusting in God. Trust in a God who is more powerful than any earthly authority. Trust in a God who promises to provide for our needs. Trust in a God who promises to be with us wherever we go, even to the ends of the earth. King Ahaz decided to not trust in God, and his decision plunged Judah into a time of darkness. But Isaiah prophesies that one day a light will shine in the darkness. One day God will send a Savior to free them from their oppressors. Judah will realize that God is more powerful and more trustworthy than any other. Unlike earthly kings who bring upheaval with every transition of power, God will establish a kingdom of peace that will never, ever end. And in that day, they will sing these words from Isaiah, "Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." This is the story behind Isaiah's song. It is a story that we can relate to as well. We often choose to trust in things other than God. Like King Ahaz, we don't really believe that God is all-powerful, that God is greater than whatever we face. It's sometimes hard to see how obeying God will benefit us more than fulfilling our earthly desires. And our choice to trust in something other than God plunges us into darkness. But the good news is that God wants to turn our darkness into light. He wants to turn our conflict into peace, our loss into abundance, and our despair into joy. Although God is angry with us for trusting in things or people or circumstances other than Him, He has chosen to set aside His anger so He can comfort us. Although we didn't do anything to earn God's favor, God provided a light in the darkness. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." In that day, and the day when we choose to follow Jesus, then Isaiah's song is for us too. When we find ourselves in the dark, worried, frustrated, anxious, scared, He is the one we can always depend on. God is always trustworthy. He is always all-powerful, always in control. And so we can sing, "I will trust and not be afraid." This is a life-changing truth, because as long as we live here on earth, we will always be confronted with darkness. Death, despair, and destruction surround us. But in the midst of that darkness, we carry with us the light of life. We don't put our trust in ever-changing circumstances. We put our trust in something that is eternal. The eternal peace brought by Jesus Christ. Given this truth, how can we keep from singing? As we sing this song of trust, even in the darkness, these words will be a witness to the rest of the world. As Isaiah says in the second part of his song, "In that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted.'" People will want to know why we are different, why the darkness does not shatter us, why we are not afraid, why we have peace that passes all understanding. This Advent time is a great opportunity to share that song with people walking in darkness. Who do you know that needs a God they can trust? Who do you know that is longing for peace? Who do you know that is sick of living in fear? How can you share this song with them? So do you sing because you are happy? Or are you happy because you sing? We sing this song of salvation because we have the light. God sent his son, Jesus, to us so that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Jesus' coming changes everything, that God lives among us and brings a promise of eternal peace. We also know that one day Jesus will come again to establish his kingdom of peace here on earth. And until that day, we sometimes sing in darkness. We are happy because we sing these words of truth. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Let's pray. Dear God, there's a lot of dark situations. Even with the bright holiday lights and the loud music playing in stores, there's darkness. There's death, and there's despair, and there's destruction. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today who doesn't have that light of life, that this is their opportunity to just say, Jesus Christ, I want you in my life. I want that light. I want that peace that overcomes the darkness. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus, your son, for sending that peace, for sending that light. And as we anticipate Christmas coming, and as we anticipate you coming again, we just pray that our lives will be lived in service to you. We eagerly anticipate the day when Jesus will return to bring peace. We can see that, God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming when young and old return to Jesus. Fling wide, you heavenly gates. Prepare the way of the risen Lord. Amen.